Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
What am I believing for, Pastor Debbie? For God to reveal His Word to you. Make it more real to you. Revelation knowledge, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. We want to keep growing, right? Don't want to stay where we are. Every day we can grow more and more. Hallelujah. So here we are. Heavenly interference. And now we are on the what? This is the fourth time, fifth time? Time goes by, boy. We've been rolling. But we've been talking and seeing about the early church and the early church, how the early church was birthed in prayer, how the early church persevered in prayer, how the early church continued in prayer, how the early church had set times of prayer, and the early church understood the importance of being a praying church. How much more as we are the continuation of the book of Acts in action today as a church, continuing the works of God, and that's being a praying church. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Notice that of everything He could have said, He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." He didn't say a house of miracles, a house of healings, a house of... He said a house of prayer. Why? Because He knew and understood the importance, first and foremost, of prayer. Because if you're a praying church, prayer lays the track for which the rest of the ministries run on. It processes the plan of God. Prayer processes the plan of God. And so we saw that the early church walked in the fear of the Lord and the strengthening presence of the Holy Spirit. So we saw the fear of the Lord combined with the presence of God. We're talking about a tangible presence. This is different from God being omnipresent, where He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," Hebrews 13:5. This we're talking about is a tangible presence. He says, "I will be with you." He's taken, when He talks about His tangible presence, He is revealing Himself to your five senses. He's bringing the unknown into the known realm. He's bringing the unseen into the seen realm. He's bringing the unheard into the heard realm and manifesting Himself to your five senses where you can sense Him. Ooh, glory. That's exciting. Well, the early church, they walked in that. We want to walk in that. Because Moses, when Moses was talking with the Lord, and he had a little conversation with Him, and he said, "Lord," he said, "I'm not going to go unless Your presence goes with us." Well, he was talking about the manifested presence of God because Moses knew and understood the difference between, he said, it is the difference between us and the world people, the world's people. The difference, it separates, it's the difference between us and the world's people when we have Your presence with us. Manifested presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all with me tonight? Everybody here? Praise God. So the early church walked in that. They were the early church in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they were known for turning the world upside down for Jesus. They were revival was breaking out. Things were happening. 3,000 souls were being saved. Peter preached one time. 5,000 souls. Peter preached another time. Miracles were happening and taking place. It was an exciting time. In the book of Acts also, they knew and understood the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, and how to use that name. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Get it out, Debbie. Hallelujah. Verse 12, Acts chapter 4. And there is salvation in and through no one else. Woo, well, that could preach a sermon right there. There is salvation in and through no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that word saved is healed, delivered, preserved, provided for. It's an all-inclusive. So when he says the name, the name of Jesus takes the place of the absent Christ. And you and I as the church has been given that name. Well, in the book of Acts, they were taught how to use the name of Jesus. They understood the power that that name represented. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. So if the early church taught about the name of Jesus, they used the name of Jesus, they understood the power that was in that name, because even when they began to get persecuted, they were told, don't speak in that name, don't use that name. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Obviously that name became very prominent out and about in the neighborhoods, in the region, and all around. For them to come against them and say, don't speak that name. Well, something had to be taking place. Hallelujah. And it was. And that's why they were coming against them and telling them, don't use that name. Well, hey, we're the church today. Come on now. How much more today should you and I know and understand about the name of Jesus? And right here in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, he said, these attesting signs. Here we go. This is amplified again. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. So the ones who are believing and expecting these things, these signs are going to follow. He said, in my name. Now we know the name of Jesus, it takes the place of the absent Christ. But what does it take the place in the absent Christ of doing? Well, number one, performing miracles. Number two, delivering from Satan's authority. Number three, bringing God on the scene. Hallelujah. He said, in my name, these signs are going to accompany, they're going to follow you, those who believe in my name. They will drive out devils, demons. They will speak with new tongues or new languages. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will, what? Recover, get well. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, he said, verse 19, he said, go. Go and make disciples. That word go is an action word. That word go means to go and act in my place. Do you realize as the church, as the believers today, that you and I are to stand in Christ's place and continue his work on the earth, proclaiming the good news and working miracles as signs and wonders to the world out there that needs that? You and I. So that word go there, it's an action word. It's a to act right now. Continue what you saw me do, what you heard me say, what you saw. Continue those works in my name, in my name. So when we use the name of Jesus, it gives us the permission, the authority to use his power. The name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus himself were standing right here with us. When you speak that name and use that name, that name affects three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. That name affects three beings, angels, demons, and mankind. Three beings. that name, the name of Jesus. And the early church in the book of Acts taught them about that name, how vitally important that name was, and that how to use that name. Oh, come on now. Let's go back to Mark chapter 16. Because it says, and these signs will accompany. You know what that word signs means? It means God's signature on our lives. Ooh, God's signature on our lives. These signs shall accompany those that are expecting these things, believing these things, anticipating it when you go out and about, and whatever might confront you or come across your path. You got the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every being has to bow in heaven and earth and under this earth. Come on now. We need to know how to use that name and be bold about using that name. What that name does when we mention, just the mention of his name, all of heaven stands at attention. Come on now. Just the mention of that name. My God. Praise the Lord. Just the mention of that name. So signs is God's signature on our lives. Follow. It says these signs will follow. That word follow means to belong aside, a traveling partner in life. Oh my goodness. A traveling partner in life, Pastor Debbie. Yes, these signs will accompany, will follow those that are expecting, anticipating, believing these things when they speak and use the name of Jesus. They follow, they belong aside, a traveling partner accompanying you wherever you go. Ooh, glory to God. The believing ones, those that are actively believing, engaged in their faith, expecting something to happen, not expecting it not to happen, expecting something to happen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And so the early church, they walked in the revelation of that. They knew and understood the importance of the name of Jesus. How much more should you and I know and understand and use that name? Come on now. The name that takes the place of the absent Christ. It is as if Jesus himself were standing right here when you speak that name. Demons flee. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease departs, leaves, bows its knee to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So they knew and understood, the early church knew and understood about the name of Jesus. And we said last week, that just like Jesus was in sync with the Father in thought, word, and deed, his actions, his thoughts, his words, so the church is to represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness, power, and might. And we looked last week and we looked up scriptures concerning purity, from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 5, 7 through 8, 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. And tonight we're going to begin on 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at the church is to represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness, power, and might. Do you know that you are the living, breathing, walking, talking, pulsating body of Jesus Christ on the earth today? Hallelujah. Yes, you are. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 15. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves, excuse me, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. So just like when you get born again and you're separated unto God on the inside, holiness is walking that separation to be seen on the outside. It's working it out on the outside to be seen. And holiness is just separation unto God for His divine purposes. Conduct is befitting those so separated. That should be your way of living. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights to appear that you're working what's on the inside on the outside. This is a manner of life. Your lifestyle all the time. Hallelujah. And so we saw last week that just like the early church walked in the fear of the Lord and the strengthening presence of the mighty Holy Spirit, we are to represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness. You know, when it comes to sanctification, there is a separation process that takes place by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a permanent indweller. He's come to take up a permanent residence in you if you are born again and know Jesus as your Savior. He's come to live in you as a permanent indweller. He's not one that comes and goes. Are you listening to me? He's not one that comes and goes. He's in you all the time as a permanent resident. And He's the lover of your soul. And I shared this last week that He has a jealous love over you and for you. That He does not want anything to come between you and Him. When other things begin to seep into our lives and begin to take His place and our desires get turned from Him onto someone, something else, someone else, it grieves the Holy Spirit because He's focused on changing you. It is the job and the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to help change you, to help empower you, to help conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, helping you every day to fulfill God's plan for your life. The Holy Spirit, who is a permanent indweller in us. He's always in there to help you, to assist you. When it comes to sanctification, there is a purging, a purifying that takes place by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when He begins to purify our lives, He begins to deal with things that, first of all, the first level of sanctification is He begins to deal with things in our lives that are detrimental to our bodies. I said the first level of purging that comes by the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, make Him our Lord, and then we get baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The first level of that sanctification that begins to take place in our life is the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with you concerning anything that is detrimental to your physical body. It's called, number one, filthiness of the flesh, the first level. It includes anything like drinking, smoking, vaping, chewing tobacco, overeating, sex outside of marriage, any of these things that are detrimental to your physical body. As you continue to yield and give yourself over to the Holy Spirit, because this is a process. You're learning to give yourself more and more over to the one who's come to take up a permanent residence in you. Because He wants you all for Himself so that Jesus Christ can be magnified, glorified, and seen through you. So in this purging, in this sanctification process, this purging first level, He begins to deal with anything that is detrimental to your physical body. And so if these things, you got born again and you filled with the Holy Ghost and you've been praying in the Spirit and spending time in the Word and in prayer, and all of a sudden these little things begin to pop up, think it not strange. Because He knows when you are ready to face and confront those issues. And you have to trust Him that He knows when it's time to face it and confront it. Because there's the power right there available for you to overcome that obstacle that might have been a bondage in your life. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 13, I don't think I put that up. Y'all got it. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever." How are you deadening them, Pastor Debbie? How are you making them extinct, putting to death these things that praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, every time you take time to spend time praying in other tongues? Do you know the statistics today say that when somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue, that they, after they initially are filled, that they may take out 15 minutes, 10 minutes out of 1 week to pray in the Spirit or pray in other tongues? That's what statistics say. No, that's not enough, Pastor Chris. No. 15 in 1 week? Are you kidding? No. You got baptized with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues so you can pray in it every day. Make the time. Set time apart when you get up in the morning. Pray in other tongues. Why? You're killing. You're deadening. You're depriving those things that have been controlling your life, and the Holy Ghost knows that you're ready to confront it and for it to drop off and fall off as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden you find out the desire is gone. You don't have the desire for this thing anymore. It's left you. It's gone. Why? Because you've taken the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It also says in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26, it says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. He bears us up in our weakness." In our weakness, in our infirmities. You know, infirmities could be anything from bondage to a sickness. And the Bible says He takes hold together with us against those things. With who? With you. Every time you're praying in tongues, He's taking hold together with you against that thing that doesn't belong there. But we don't want to take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we wonder why we got all these problems flying around, Oh my goodness. If we would just take time and allow the Holy Spirit to do that sanctifying work that He wants to do in all of us. And like I said, it's a process. It's a never-ending process in all of us. So the first level, He's dealing with everything detrimental to your outward man, to the flesh. The second one is filthiness of the soul. What do you mean by that, Pastor Debbie? Anything on the second level that has to deal with you when it comes to hatred, strife, pride, unforgiveness, manipulation, offense, lying, envying, all of those things. Some of those might have been a trap to you in your life. And you might have taken offense on something, or you have unforgiveness in your soul about something against somebody. The Holy Spirit will begin to slowly let these things come to the surface so that you can begin to what? Deal with them. Bible says, be quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to forgive. Let it go. Let it drop. It's not worth the trouble. You're not hurting that other person. You're hurting yourself by holding on to these things. Yep. Let it go, and the quicker you learn to let it go and let it drop, the better it is for you. That was the second level of the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit. And then the third level, the filthiness of the Spirit, is anything like in that's incorrect in your beliefs or doctrine. You might have been taught all your life that tongues was of the devil. That's a wrong belief. It's not truth according to the Word of God. You might have been taught all your life that sickness and disease comes from God. That's a lie. That's a wrong belief. Sickness and disease does not come from God. We know that the devil is the author of sickness and disease. Hallelujah. So these things take place as we continue to what? Give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, and we watch and see these things begin to fall off our lives as we continue to grow and move forward in our walk and our relationship with God the Father, which is exciting. But we got to take the time to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do when He comes in to take up residence in us. He's not just there as a hitchhiker. No, He's in there with a job on His mind, on the mind of the Father. He wants to empower you, see you change, see you fulfill the will of God for your life. Conform you to His image, to Jesus Christ's image. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about the churches to represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness, power. And let's go to Luke chapter 24, because I'm getting somewhere tonight. We're going to make it in Jesus' name. Luke 24 and in verse 49. The church is to represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness, power. Woo! What did we say? We got the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, and how to use that name and what that name does and who it represents. And it affects three worlds. It affects three beings. Come on now. It's a powerful name to affect three worlds and three beings. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, we're talking about the power. We're to represent, the church is to represent Jesus Christ in power. Jesus said, "Behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." He said, power. That word power, woo, glory. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Some of you are looking for the power, but you're looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus has got the power. He got the right power for you. It's called the Holy Ghost power. And when you get the Holy Ghost power, you got all power. Hallelujah. You got all power to exercise over the enemy. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, might, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, the very bounds of the earth." So when you receive power, that word power there means miraculous faculty. You are to be it makes you a witness, a producer of evidence that Jesus Christ is alive and not dead. Hallelujah. It says, "You shall receive power, dunamis power, a divine enablement or ability beyond your own natural ability." A divine enablement or ability. A divine power overcoming all resistance. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited already. A what, Pastor Debbie? And a divine power overcoming all resistance. He wants you to receive this power. And if you've already received it, then you got all the power you need in this life to confront anything and overcome anything, obstacle that comes your way. We don't need to ask for more power if you've already been baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. You got all the power you need. You just got to learn how to release the power that you've been given. That's exactly right. Know how to turn that power loose in this world that we're living in today. So it's that divine enablement, a miraculous faculty. There you go, right there. Miraculous. So that you can work miracles just like Jesus did. What did he say when he said, go act in my place, in my stead, in my office. Continue the work that I started, preaching the gospel and doing the miracles that he did. You mean me, Pastor Debbie? Yeah, you. That's what it says here. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost in power, you have all the power you need to go out here and work a miracle. It says, so we're to be represent Jesus Christ in purity, holiness, power. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amplified says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. It didn't say anything about being strong in yourself, does it?
No.
No. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're talking about being a representation of Jesus Christ in power and might. The might of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Power and might, filled with the Holy Ghost. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By his spirit. That permanent indweller that lives in you. Power. The church is to represent Jesus Christ in power and might. You know, we're living in the last of the last days. We're at the end of the age. A lot of things are happening and taking place, but there's a world out there that doesn't know Jesus. And miracles are the dinner bell to get the world's attention so that they can get into church and be discipled, saved, and grow in the things of God, grow in their relationship and in their walk with God. And as a church, the early church understood the importance of praying for signs, wonders, and miracles. It's the power of God. And it was very in demonstration in the book of Acts, all through the book of Acts, from the raising of the dead, heal the cripples, the lame that couldn't walk, all kinds of things. And as a church, we need to come together and agree on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and begin to covet the gifts of power. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us that God does not want us to be ignorant, misunderstand them, or be uninformed concerning spiritual things and spiritual matters, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be an example of Jesus Christ and represent him before this world, we need to be ready to know how to flow and work with the Holy Spirit in these last days. If he decides to use you in one of the gifts of the Spirit, we need to recognize it, yield, give place to it, and allow him to work through you to demonstrate to a world that doesn't know him. And first of all, the church has got to covet and get hungry and begin to ask and pray for the gifts of the Spirit. We're to covet them as a church, not as one single individual. You don't own these gifts. You don't work for these gifts. These gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit's own will about who and when. All we're doing is making ourselves available at any given time to recognize him and to flow and work with him. I want to read to you about just one of the power gifts, because Brother Hagin said as the end of the days gets closer and closer, the power gifts the church really needs to zero in on and really begin to covet and ask and remind God in his word about these gifts. And the power gifts, of course, the nine gifts of the Spirit, breaking them down into three categories. You have the utterance gifts, you have the gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these gifts are supernatural. They are not natural in any way, shape, or form. They are supernatural. Then you have the revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal something. You have the gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Then you have the power gifts, the gifts that do something, the working of miracles, the gift of special faith, and the gifts of healings. But I want to read to you just to get to whet your appetite concerning these supernatural gifts. And just one of them out of the power gifts called the working of miracles. And just listen to what this says here concerning the working of miracles. Because I want to really get you hungry so that you really begin to ask. So that we as a church begin to covet these things together. And then the Holy Spirit distributes as he chooses and as he wills. But the working of miracles, two Greek words that stand out concerning that working of miracles. The first Greek word is energema, meaning energy, where we get the word energy today. It is a gift of energy or dynamite in God doing something of an explosive nature. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Energema. Energy. A gift of energy or dynamite in God doing something of an explosive nature. The other Greek word is dunamis. Power. Acts of power are mighty, wonderful works, explosions of almightiness of God. Oh my gosh. Let me say that again. Acts of power are mighty, wonderful works, explosions of almightiness. Defining the working of miracles, it is a supernatural intervention of God in the ordinary course of nature that cannot be explained in the natural. It is a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, such as an example when Joshua spoke to the sun, he said, "Sun, be still," and it stopped. A temporary suspension of the accustomed order. It's an interruption in the system of nature as we know it, operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. An example of that is the axe head that floated in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, when the prophet threw it in the water. And so they were working and building something, and all of them were around with the prophet, and the axe head fell off and went into the water, and they went to Elijah, and they told him, and he said, and he threw a stick in the water, and when he did, the axe head floated, and they were able to pick it up. and get it. Something, as we know it, that's an interruption in the system of nature, operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural, we're talking about the working of miracles, just one of the power gifts. It is a supernatural sign wrought by the power of God, employs that active faith that actively works a miracle. When it comes to the working of miracle, God works a miracle through you. Where the gift of special faith, you receive the miracle. It's passive. But this one, the working of miracles, is actively working that miracle through you. God is. Just like in Isaiah 38, verse 8, when the sundial turned backwards as a sign to Hezekiah that he would recover and live. The working of miracles, a supernatural demonstration of the power of God by which the laws of nature are altered, suspended, or controlled. Just like an example in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus walked on the water. It is God working through a person or an animal or some other instrument to do something that could not be done normally. Like in Numbers 22 when the donkey spoke. First Kings chapter 17 when the ravens fed Elijah. A raven is the most stingiest bird there is. And God used the ravens to feed Elijah the prophet, bringing him meat every night, every day. God is entrusting man, we're going to stop right here. God is entrusting man with a strength and energy that we do not normally have. It is the power of the Spirit of God surging through us, our hands, our feet, our minds, causing us to do or be something that is not normal or natural to our behavior. Woo! Glory to God. God is entrusting man with a strength and energy that we do not normally have. It is the power of the Spirit of God surging through us, through our hands, our feet, our minds, causing us to do or be something that is not normal or natural to our behavior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he told the church, don't be ignorant of these things, but to know, understand them, get hungry for them, covet them as a church, as a whole, and expect these things. This is just one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. One of the power gifts. And a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit work together like fingers on one hand. You'll see a lot of times when you see the gift of working of miracles, you'll see the gift of faith with it. Because when somebody raises somebody from the dead, there's three gifts in operation there. Number one, the gift of faith to call that spirit back into the body. Second, the working of miracles to raise that body up. Third, the gifts of healings for whatever killed them or they died of, they had to be healed of it so they wouldn't just die right back out again. So they work together. Many times you'll see the gifts of the Spirit working together. Let's stand to our feet. So tonight.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.